You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Biggie on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. Sunny Cocoa, Florida, as usual. We're here for my show called Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And the elections are over. We're moving on, and I feel great today. Yes. Ellen Little is here as usual. That was her voice.
Thank you.
She just wants to talk about Thanksgiving.
I do. I feel like it's a short week. I think we should celebrate.
Yes. We have an action-packed show today. We've got Dr. Miriam Moore, who is the executive director of the Brevard Homeless Coalition. She has a background in law enforcement and education, and she currently teaches at FIT, and she's absolutely beautiful. Thank you for being here this morning. And she brought with her a friend. His name is Drew Warren. He's kind of stepping in for Michelle Auclair, who couldn't make it for some for an emergency, from what I understand. And Drew Warren is the executive director of the Community of Hope. That sounds really nice. Community of Hope. Around Christmas time, we need hope.
We all need a community of hope.
Yeah. Amen. And he's also the chair of the providers for the Brevard Homeless Coalition. So welcome to the show, Drew.
Thank you for having me.
And then my good friend Keenan Barley is here, and she is here to talk about a plant-based diet, as well as all the great things that she and fellow friends are doing in the downtown Ogallala district, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And your story is wonderful about how you began your journey being on a plant-based diet. So we'll talk plant-based journey. So we'll be talking about that in a little bit. But before we go to Dr. Moore, I just want to give a shout out this morning. I read on Facebook, and of course, this is not fake news because I checked it, that Michael Bloomberg in New York is donating $1.8 billion to boost financial aid for low-income low-income students.
Yep.
Which is awesome. You know, he's one billionaire that I totally respect because he always puts his money where his mouth is when it comes to people who are homeless or poor, or he always tries to help people, and I think that's great.
I met him a few times because we actually built a Home Depot in the Bloomberg building in New York City.
Oh, you did.
So, nice guy.
Is he really short, like they say?
Well, I'm 6 foot, so a lot of people are short.
Yeah. And then the Michelle Obama book, I mean, it's been over. I ordered my
book. Did you get yours yet?
Yes, it's going to be here today or tomorrow. She's real. She's so real. It makes you feel like she's living next door to you instead of being a first lady. She's just so, people want to get to know her and how she managed in the White House and faced so many challenges.
We talked about it last week. She had an interview with Robin Roberts on Sunday night, I believe. I think it was Dateline or 2020, one of those shows. And it was such a heartfelt, real interview. It was so refreshing. It really was. Well, you know, regardless of what you feel about politics, that is one classy lady.
It is. And the other thing, too, you know, first we talk about, we give thanks to Michael Bloomberg for what he's doing, and then the book, and then the other kitchen table topics I had, and Dr. Moore just mentioned that, and I did, too. You know, 77 people are now confirmed dead from the fires in Paradise, California, and 1,000 people are missing, so I urge all my friends to support the Red Cross because they're doing a lot to help. And they were talking this morning on NPR about the people who are living in the parking lots, in makeshift tents. And somebody, you know, talked about the people don't have a car. Their cars were even burned.
Right.
So it's not a question that they don't want to leave. How are they going to leave and where are they going to go? And so that's why I think it's great today that we're having a show on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends about homelessness. Because that's a prime example of people who were lawyers and doctors and dentists and just about from every walk of life that became homeless suddenly, right? Through no fault of their own.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's tough. And you saw
and
that
there's just
morning.
Not enough, even for people that have money, sometimes there's not enough housing. You know, it doesn't really matter. There's just not. There's not listings out there. There's not a whole lot of apartments that are available. So
yeah,
it makes it really tough.
Well, you know, that was one of the platforms that myself and Andrew Gillum and so many of us ran on was affordable housing, affordable wages. We talked about health insurance. We talked about a clean environment. And we talked about the issues that were affecting people, like planning your families. Who won't want to plan a family once you're educated? So we talked about things, comprehensive sex education as well as education, academic and trade, and we didn't get in. So let's move forward now and hope that whoever got in into the state house and the Senate and in Washington, D.C., that they will look at things, because so many people are living one paycheck away from homelessness. It's not a joke. It's the truth. And I speak with people all the time, and this seems to be an issue. Some people don't even have money to go to Disney World. They have to save up for 3 or 4 years in order to afford a ticket and buy food to go to Disney, and we live in the state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly,
so right. it's not easy. So, Dr. Moore, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
And we'll just let you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with the Brevard Homeless Coalition.
Well, they were looking for a new executive director, and there was a series of interviews. I don't know. It's pretty standard.
And you won.
This is, I guess so.
She won.
And you won.
Not the lottery you really wanted.
Not really the lottery we wanted, yes. But it's a challenge, what we're doing. It's nonstop. It's a 24/7 challenge. There's so much going on in Brevard County, and there's just so many people in need right now. And we talk about this more, I think, around the holidays, because it's the season of giving. But we don't think about it throughout the year when so many people are struggling. So
yeah, I mean,
in your background in law enforcement, mm-hmm. you've seen this
yes
for 20 years, and now you finally get a way to do something a little bit more,
or yeah.
a different approach.
Yeah, different. It is a different approach, and I feel like I'm in a position where I can, you know, affect some change, influence some people to make some changes that will be positive in the community.
Well, it is a gift that you have that background. They say everything happens for a reason, right?
Correct.
And so it's great that you did have that. And so, Drew, how did you get involved? You do a lot of things.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the Community of Hope and then your role with the Brevard Homeless Coalition.
Well, my background is in education and in mental health. So I've kind of been around folks who have struggled. I've seen people who are homeless, dealt with families with children who are homeless for years. And then I ended up on the board with Community of Hope. Was on the board for about 5 years, and then the executive director position came open, and I accepted that. And then Community of Hope is part of the Brevard Homeless Coalition. There are actually 70 providers, more than 70 providers within the coalition, and within the coalition, I chair those providers. And we all have our own agencies who look at homelessness from a different perspective, but it's kind of like the people looking at the elephant from a different perspective. You know, my agency, Community of Hope, we focus on families with minor children. But then you've got homeless teenagers and young adults that Crosswinds, for example, kind of specializes with. So, you know, I think homelessness is, you know, not just one thing. It's not the person on the street that's asking for money. You know, it is the family that is couch surfing or staying in a hotel, or staying in their cars.
And in some cases, working full time.
Yeah, and it's not almost always working full time.
Yeah, they're called
because,
the working poor.
Yeah, it would require more than two full time minimum wage jobs to be able to afford rent in this county. So
yeah. So Dr. Moore, how do you intend to build alliances in the community and maximize the resources that you have?
We want to work with the local politicians and with the leaders in the community to establish affordable housing so that people have options, places where they can go, where the rent is reasonable. There's a lot of reasons why the rent is through the roof now, but in Brevard is no exception to the problem.
And how does Brevard Housing Authority get in on that, right? Is that something that you guys know? Because I know of a few people, and they live in some of those communities,
mm-hmm.
and they are rent controlled, I guess. So they have it's based on what their income is. And certainly with a family that had a full-time job, that might be something that would be equivalent for them.
Yeah, they're actually, there's the Brevard Housing Authority, then there's the Housing Authority in Titusville. So I think there are four different housing authorities. But even with the four different housing authorities, they have, vouchers. They can put people into their units. But it's just a drop in the bucket compared to the need, because housing has become so expensive that now people who, used to be fine, the elderly who you're living on a fixed income but could afford their rent, now can't. So, I mean, it's just, the housing authorities are overwhelmed, and we work with them and always, work together, but they need more than just what the housing authorities can do.
And is the community initiative too for Section 8?
Well,
so if you have a home, mm-hmm. that maybe you're, maybe you're off boating.
Yeah.
Most of the year.
They could put it up as Section 8 housing.
Section 8,
That's interesting. I didn't even know that.
We've actually come across people with vouchers for Section 8 housing that were expired because there's so little affordable housing in the county. They could not find a place to live with that voucher before it expired.
Wow. So, Dr. Moore, we've all heard the argument that people say, well, if someone is homeless, why can't they just go back to their family, right? But not everyone have a supportive family. So tell our listeners on Viewpoint Cedar and Friends, what exactly is homelessness, the perception versus the reality?
The perception is that a homeless person doesn't work, drinks a lot, has mental illness, lives in the woods, is a problem to society. And in some cases, this is accurate. That's a lot of our chronically homeless people. We do have programs to help them as well. But our fastest growing and our largest population of homeless is by far the families with the children. That's where we're seeing the concerns right now. The people calling in every day, unable to get back into their house, and they find themselves with their children in their cars. And that's when provider agencies like Family Promise and Community of Hope and some of our other providers come in. Drew's very familiar with that. That's what he specializes in. But we don't have enough places to put everybody, the influx of calls we're receiving.
And with technology taking over so many jobs, too, you do see people losing jobs. You're one step away from paying your mortgage payment. You will be in peril.
Yeah, but even now in Brevard County, we have pretty much what a lot of people would consider full employment. But that's full employment with people working part-time, and that's full employment with people having to do two or three jobs in order to come close to making rent. And it's frankly just not enough. So it's not that people aren't employed or that unemployment is just so terrible right now. It's that the affordable housing does not exist. When affordable housing has gone up, or rather, the base housing rates have gone up 15% in the last year. So, what you used to be able to get for $900 a month is now $1,200 and up.
Right.
And people just can't afford it.
I just want to add here, because you were talking earlier about how the fact that I was homeless. I'm 43 now, but I was homeless when I was 19 for about 6 months. I had two jobs at that time, and exactly that. Like, I was employed. People think that, homeless people are not employed, but I was definitely employed. I had two jobs. But when you have to come up with a deposit and all of the deposits for electricity and stuff like that, it was so overwhelming And that's why, I mean, I had to live in my car.
Yeah, most people can't afford the first license security.
Yeah.
And that was the voice of Keenan,
and that,
right,
and that was 2 decades ago. That was right, over 2 decades ago. So the problem hasn't changed. So the problem hasn't really been corrected.
So Drew, what exactly is the purpose of the Brevard Homeless Coalition?
Well, the purpose of the Brevard Homeless Coalition is to work together, bring all the providers together to end homelessness. And we have made great strides in working together and kind of figuring out what each of our niches are and able to address it. You know, we have shelter programs like you know, Miriam mentioned, Family Promise. Community of Hope has a short-term shelter called SOS. But we also have transitional housing providers. We have long-term housing providers. We have people agencies that specialize in serving or providing the basic needs like food and those kind of things. So we all have a role to play, and we do very well at coordinating together.
Right, and so Dr. Moore, I know you don't like to talk numbers, but
yeah.
Do you have any idea about what the current numbers are in regards to families, children, individuals, and veterans who are experiencing homelessness at this time in Brevard?
I'm going to say there's approximately 2,000 children
homeless
in Brevard right now. I think last year we had 262 unaccompanied at some point through the year, but it's about 2,000. There's a couple different ways of looking at homelessness. We have the HUD definition and the Department of Education definition, but even the children who are in foster care qualify as homeless because they're transient. They don't have a stable place. They go from school to school and home to home, so they're a very special need population as well.
If I could real quick, last year according to the school board there is 2,907 school children who were homeless, and that's certainly an undercount because that's focusing on school children and that's focusing on children who have been reported as being homeless, whereas a lot of them keep this very, very secret. So
yeah.
That is,
yes. Well, it's just such a shame and stigma attached to it. Yeah. And talked about that a little bit at the age of 19.
If I can, we also have 222 veterans listed as homeless in Brevard County.
I didn't realize it was that high. That's pretty high.
And we estimate about 500 chronically homeless, between 500 and 600, but we're getting ready to come up on our point in time count. We should be able to get a little bit of a more accurate.
What exactly is point in time? And then you have a schedule on January 28th to go to court for that? Is it not? What is it? What is that?
The point in time count is we do it annually. It's a count of all the homeless people in the county. We look for volunteers to help us with that. Keenan, you said you took part in that years ago.
2015.
Mm-hmm. And what we do is we have a 24-hour period this year. It's going to be held on January 28th. It's a Monday. It's going to be volunteers in shelters, counting everyone we have in the system and the people in the woods. We will have it mapped out where people can go and touch base with the people that we know that are out there and try to find new people, connect with them. We have to report these numbers to HUD. It helps us to draw down funding from the federal government so that we can provide services for these people.
And you know, I've always said homelessness does not discriminate, right?
Right.
It's not a choice. And it can affect anyone from young to old, no matter what color, creed, or race you are. So, Drew, what do you think caused the current crisis of affordable housing in Florida, in Brevard, actually?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of landlords realize and you know, I understand the profit motive, but realize that they can afford to increase their rental rates. That the you know it's just plain economics. The need is out there for housing, and they can charge higher rates as the economy is getting better and as more people are moving into the area. As you know, the Space Center is starting to increase some of the jobs out there. Certainly a lot of technology jobs are in the area, and people are coming in and moving in who have, you know, higher salaries and can afford the higher rates. So the people who are here now oftentimes don't have the income to afford, you know, $300 more a month in rent.
And who wants to address the question, how can we create affordable housing with and without a community buy-in? Either Dr. Moore. Or
you can start.
Could I start that real quick?
Yeah.
I think, Dr. Moore mentioned doing the point in time count and how that helps us to figure out how much money we're going to get from HUD. But whatever money we get from HUD is not going to be enough. It really has, we have to have the community buy-in. And our agency is very lucky to have a lot of support from churches, from individuals, from businesses. But obviously that's not enough for us either. But we really need the community to come in and support. I think a lot of times people think, well, that's, you know, the government's going to take care of that. The government isn't going to, at least not in its current iteration. So
you depend on the kindness of the community. Mm-hmm. And that leads us to our next question. What do we need from the community in order to address homelessness in Brevard, Dr. Merriam?
We need their support. I think if there was one thing that I could get to start the ball rolling in this process, it would be...
I think we said wave a magic wand.
Yes,
right?
if I could wave a magic wand and have anything I wanted, it would be the support, the buy-in of the community. Because when you have the people supporting an initiative, they can, you know, persuade the government to help you with what you need. And really, a lot of people don't think of homelessness until they've got somebody tapping on their car door asking for food or money. They don't realize how far this problem spreads. It's a huge issue. Something as simple as a diversion center could be, it could be wonderful in Brevard, but we have a lot of NIMBYs. They don't want it near them. They don't realize that these people that we're trying to help are not a threat. They're not threatening people. They just want a place to live. And through whatever circumstances they've experienced, they found themselves without a home.
And NIMBY is that acronym by George Carlin, right? Not in my backyard.
Right.
Which is what we say a lot of things. Like, we don't want jails in our backyard.
Right.
We don't want certain things, and we certainly don't want homelessness in our backyard, mm-hmm. but it really is.
Yep.
It's staring at us every day.
Well, I think, and are you saying, because people think of them as being, like, different than they are, you know, is that what you mean? Because, like, I think about, like, my youngest is 15, she has a friend right now who is homeless,
mm-hmm.
He's 20, and then I have a friend who actually contacted me last night to ask for a list of resources because she can't pay her electricity bill, water bill, husband just lost a job. And it's like they're the same as we are, though.
Yeah.
So is that what you mean? Like, people are afraid to...
They don't realize that there are children out there who don't have a place to live. There are teenagers. Our LGBT children are at very high risk of being homeless and being kicked out because there's people who are still not accepting of them. There's just so many reasons why a person could become homeless. And then being homeless puts them at a much higher risk of being victimized in a criminally victimized or becoming ill and
right.
not being
and
able to get medical.
And they're constantly searching for safe shelter. Mm-hmm. They're looking for nutrition. Some of them are looking for access to a toilet where to put their personal belongings. And we see so many of them with low self-esteem, social isolation. And the thing is, I don't think people understand all you need to do is open up your heart and not be judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's all it takes. It's free. Just look at, you know, they say you have to be your brother's keeper. But those should not be words. We should actually do that in actions as well. And I've seen what you're talking about. I know we had a nursing assistant who was living in her car at the nursing home a few years ago. And I walked outside and I saw her son eating in the back seat. And she said, we became homeless a week ago. And they've been driving around in their car. And she was getting ready at work. For work, and they look like normal people. Nobody would tell. Yeah, she has to give care to 11 patients every day, and she was homeless living in her car. So, I mean, how do we get people to that point where they stop judging and they start caring about their neighbors, their friends, or community? I think Drew can answer
that. Yeah, well, I tell you what, my background in psychology, I think there's a human tendency to do the us-them thinking. And I see it all the time. And I think right now we're actually, unfortunately, in this kind of crisis mode with affordable housing. But the good side of that, there's always a silver lining, is that it's no longer us-them. I think there's an awful lot of people waking up to, oh, it's my mother. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's my son. It's my daughter. It could be any of us. We're just because we have temporarily better fortunes than others doesn't make us different.
Right. And domestic violence and financial difficulties are the two issues that actually causes so many people to be homeless. People run away and they don't have any money. They don't have a plan. They need somewhere to go. I mean, do you see a lot of that, Dr. Moore, women or men who are being abused?
I think Drew could better answer this because you do have the families that come into your program that...
Yeah, we certainly see a lot of domestic violence, especially coming into our shelter. That is definitely an issue. And we've had a lot of people come to us who are kind of... They had to leave because they couldn't stay where they were at, and it just was a sudden homelessness. And that's kind of what our SOS shelter is about, is those who are kind of faced with sudden homelessness. And we've had, not only the ones from domestic violence, but we've had people who had their house burned down and found themselves suddenly homeless, speaking of California. So it's not uncommon to face those type of trials all of a sudden.
So if someone wanted to go on the website and check out the Brevard Homeless Coalition, what is the website?
Our website's actually under construction.
Yeah, yes. Someone can help with that.
It's BrevardHomelessCoalition.org, but it is under construction, so there's really not a lot on there right now. We hope in the next couple of weeks to get it revamped and have a
Brevard,
lot more information.
Is working very well. I'm mm-hmm. on it now. Yes. I see the applications and mm-hmm. transitional housing, Camp Hope, Hope Connections, all the different programs.
It's so nice to spread the word on shows such as this show, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, here on WWBC on AM 1510 and on our three FM stations, 94.7, 100.7, 99.9, and have Pastor Paul with us. But before Pastor Paul, just hold the ad for a second. I just have a question. There are so many people that ask questions about homeless people. What do they do with their pets? When you become homeless, what do people do with their pets?
Yeah, there's actually a agency out there called, similar name. I think they are called Hope for Brevard, that does help people board their pets and that kind of thing at times. We've actually worked with them because Community of Hope policy is no pets. We've talked about that as a board, and we've discussed changing that, and I hope that we will, because I'm a pet lover myself. So, but there are agencies out there that will help.
And for our listeners who are tuning in this morning, this is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and we've had Dr. Miriam Moore, who's the Executive Director of the Brevard Homeless Coalition, with us. We also have Drew Warren, who's the Executive Director of Community of Hope, and he's the chair of the providers for Brevard Homeless Coalition. One more question. What do you say to people who say that this person chooses to become homeless, Dr. Moore, in 30 seconds or less?
I disagree. Nobody said when they were 5 years old, I'm going to grow up and I'm going to be homeless. I don't believe that.
Yeah,
you may have the very rare case. I won't ever say never, but you may find I have that rare case. But by far, most people, if you ask them, if you went and talked to them every day and offered them a place to live, even the most stubborn people will eventually give in and accept services. They will all become tired of their situation and hope for something better.
So it shouldn't be, how the person became homeless. It should be, how can we do to help you
exactly.
So that you don't become homeless? And I think that speaks a big volume, which we probably need another hour for another show.
Yeah,
Foundation
definitely.
Of Family, Foundation of the Community, Education, and all the things that we talk about. Because when you're homeless, you also put a burden on the healthcare system as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that, we should do another show on that, because people don't understand how many homeless people end up in the emergency rooms with multiple problems. And when we could have taken care of them in the beginning, so they don't end up there. And I see Drew shaking his head.
Yep.
I know we're pressed for time, but there's a great agency doing some stuff up in Jacksonville that they housed 90 homeless, high utilization homeless people, meaning they used a lot of public services. They found that there was a $500,000 health care cost for those 90 people before housing them, and it was $200,000 after. So, and most of the people aren't paying those bills. So it saved the system like $300,000 a year.
Right. What a great first half hour today.
It was a great first half hour. And all of the website information and great information, by the way, is on our Facebook page on under cedamediainc.com. And we'll be right back after these great messages from our sponsors with Keenan Barley from Plant Based Burrard.
Portions of Viewpoint with Seda and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Seda Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Seda Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Seda and Friends is brought to you by Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, and so and more. Brand new, warranties as well, and delivery and haul-away available at a fraction of the cost of most stores and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no-credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud 9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MedFast, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MedFast Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Seda Begee on Viewpoint with Seda and Friends. We had a really good first half hour today on our show. And for those of our friends who are tuning in today, we were talking about poverty and homelessness and how we as a society can help people right here in Brevard and in the United States. And, you know, I read something this morning. It says poverty is a flood and it's crashing down on the most vulnerable people in our society, our young adults and children, and how true it is. And one step further, if you have a sister or a brother or a niece or a nephew, I mean, reach out to them, not just because it's the season, but you have family members who are struggling and facing challenging times. And I think all of us at some point should throw someone a lifeline, because that's what we do as human beings. It doesn't matter if you're related by blood or just your friend. Many people are hurting right now because they've got no one to have Thanksgiving with, or they don't have anybody who's going to give them a Christmas present, or they don't have a place to live, a safe place just to put their head at night. So I think shows like this, you know, it showcases the need for us to be non-judgmental and be giving. Go to the Brevard Homeless Coalition website or the Community of Hope, and if you could donate something. My daughter sent some presents in for the children, so I'll give that to Drew before we leave.
It's hopeofbrevard.com.
Right, Hope and of Brevard. The other thing, just to transition away from all the seriousness, did anybody see where our dear president went to California and said that people need to rake up the leaves so that we wouldn't have fires? And then on Facebook, it was so funny. People were posting pictures with rakes and brooms. And I have to say, sometimes it just breaks it up. I mean, I don't understand the thinking.
The one with Smokey the Bear peeping around the corner, being like, get yourself out here and rake this floor.
Yes.
I cracked up. Like, I needed that so bad.
I know. And the thing is, I don't know. I mean, people could be so creative, right? Mm-hmm. They had these funny rakes with all kind of stuff in the end of the rake. And it says, hold me back. Then somebody put Rake America Great Again. That was so funny. And it reminded me of my mother. It reminded me of my mother when, you know, we had to sweep our courtyard in Trinidad all the time. And I was the child out of the 18 of us. I was one designated to sweep. And I had these memories of sweeping leaves. And then the wind will just blow all the leaves back. And I was like, why me? Why do I? And so when
why does this have to be my job?
Yeah, when the president talked about the leaves, boy, I had my flashbacks of raking leaves. And I thought, no, you do not want to go there. You just don't want to go there. But how, I mean, I don't understand even, that had nothing to do with it. It was a campfire.
It was a campfire.
Yeah, it was bad. And I feel bad for those people. I really do.
Yes.
But anyways, and then the other one was on Saturday Night Live, they were talking about people changing their outfits to vote. Did you see that one with Jeannie Most?
Oh, people in disguise.
Oh, my God. Somebody came up with a cereal box, and the little guy jumps out of the cereal box and says to the lady, hey, show me your ID.
Yeah.
Where did you buy that cereal?
They're onto us.
You saw it. That's funny. Facebook have a lot of fun if you have the time to go scroll through it, right? And you discovered something on Facebook. Tell our listeners about that.
I don't know. What it is.
The 3D?
Oh my gosh, the 3D pictures.
Right.
And she's getting nauseous.
Which has nothing to do with our plant-based diet. But yeah. Let's do it.
It's so much fun. It's so much fun, 3D pictures.
Well, that's why the show is fun.
I'm
and
just nauseated when you're going through your news.
Yeah, I have to check it. Well, that's why Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is fun and unscripted. We're real people that read real things, that watch the news. We watch our Facebook feeds for not fake news, but news.
Nauseating 3D.
And so, anyway, so now Keenan. Why do I always put an M in there?
Everybody does it. It's cool.
Yeah. Keenan. Keenan.
It's whatever.
Keenan Barley's here. Right. And she's going to talk to us a little bit about her journey becoming a plant-based diet person and a guru, I should say.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Vegetarian diet.
Oh,
so tell yeah, us. Yeah, so that's
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's your cue. You just tell us a little bit about yourself first and how your two daughters encourage you to stop eating meat.
Yeah, so it's been, 7 or 8 years now. My oldest is 20. She was 12 at the time. We're a homeschool family since my oldest was in sixth grade. So it actually was because of a band she was following, and you know how it is at that age, like when you're preteen or teen and whatever the celebrities are doing, you kind of want to emulate. And it was a leader of a band that she liked, and he was vegetarian. So she was like, well, he's vegetarian, so we should be vegetarian. So she asked if we could become vegetarian. So we just made it into a homeschool project and had her write an essay and kind of convince us. it happened that at the same time I was watching some documentaries and I was reading the China study. I had just gone through kind of a health crisis situation, so I was looking to kind of health things up. So she wrote a convincing essay, and I decided that we'd try vegetarianism for about 6 weeks is what we told her, and it took about 2 for us to go vegan. So, oh. And it's just been that way ever since.
Isn't it weird? Like Hindus, like myself, Indians, I used to look at what's happening in the United States, mm-hmm. and I wanted to come to the United States and meet Barry Gibb and Andy Gibb and the Jacksons, and I wanted to go to Hollywood and see Starsky and Hutch, and here we have a family yeah. such as yours who wants to go vegan. What we detested it yeah. as children.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. We were like, how come everybody else gets to eat meat yeah. and we don't?
Yeah.
And my mother would say, well, because vegetables are good for you. But it was like we wanted to experience different diets. Yeah. And here you guys are now turning into what we were.
Right.
So many Americans are now on a vegan diet.
Like other countries, they want McDonald's and they want Burger King. Oh, my God. All the Americanized.
And stuff. How? I remember when I first came to the United States and I saw a piece of cheese that was wrapped in a wrapper. Yeah. I thought, oh my God, cheese wrapped like this? And because in Trinidad, you just go and you buy a block of cheese. And if you're poor, I mean, you're lucky to get the cheese.
Right.
And so here, you know, Americans have so much.
Yeah.
You know, you really do. I don't think a lot of people realize how lucky they are that they have so much. And back home, we don't. Everything has to be either, you know, we had our own markets. We had our own kitchen gardens, and we thought we were so backward. And here I was running for office, and they're talking about sustainability. And I'm like, yeah. Well, wait a minute. We live this kind of life, you know, washing our clothes and hanging it on a clothesline and having a kitchen garden and sharing our crops with the villages. And that was a kind of a good life. And now I notice people
I feel like you're heading back that way.
I know.
Right? I think it feels kinda good. I like it.
You like it?
Yeah.
I think you're Hindu.
It makes
you're Indian.
As the lone meat eater in the room, I'd like to say the grass is always greener, but it doesn't taste as good.
Yeah. Well, there I do eat chicken and fish. My husband is a vegetarian. And like just before I came to the show today, there's a Persian dish that you make with eggplant, but you have to cut the eggplant in slices and salt it. And then I'm going to fry the eggplant when I get home. Kind of get all the oil out, and then I'm going to cook it for him with mushrooms and tomato paste and onions and garlics, and that tastes so good. You wouldn't even believe it's a vegetarian meal.
Yeah,
you know, it's how
I think people are really surprised, and that's kind of that's really how Plant Based Brevard kind of got started. Mm-hmm. When I moved here 4 years ago, I moved here from Orlando, and it's like vegan mecca over there, plant based food mecca. I mean, there's so many restaurants and stuff over there, and of course Whole Foods and everything. But when I got here, I was like, where are we going to eat, people? And when I started asking around, everyone said, you have to go to Orlando, you have to go to West Palm. And I was like, no, I'm living in Brevard now, so I want to keep my money in Brevard County.
Right.
So I started investigating, and it turns out that almost every restaurant in Brevard County has vegan and plant-based options. Sometimes the restaurants really don't know that. But they do.
So this group started on Facebook. So,
yeah, we started as a private group, and it was mostly because after getting here and wanting to find out, you know, other places, I joined a bunch of vegan groups. And the thing is that with vegan groups, they're very militant. And I am an ethical vegan, so I don't do any leather or anything like that. I don't do any animal products. I'm an ethical vegan. But the groups can be really harsh. And so you may have somebody that comes in and they're like, hey, I'd like to try a Meatless Monday. Well, you'd have a lot of people in the group that will say, well, you're not, why just Meatless Monday? Why can't you do all, you know, 7 days of the week? And it's like, for crying out loud, let's people, you know, let people be on their own journey. And, you know, they'll find their way. Or parents who had teenagers who went vegan for ethical reasons or plant-based for health reasons or whatever. And the parents were, where do I go? Like, how do I feed my kid? So I feel like it really wasn't fair to be so judgmental towards people.
Right. And you restrict people because they want to.
And no. Then they don't want to know anything. So now they're just out, and they're over here with Drew, and they're keto. Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding with you.
Well, you know, my husband became a vegetarian when I met him. He was from the Middle East, and obviously I'm Indian, so we didn't eat a lot of meat. So he would make, like, chicken kebabs, and he would make beef kebabs, and he would make lamb shanks and everything under the sun for us. And then one day he had his fishing rod in our backyard in Tortoise Island on the river, and he caught this beautiful redfish. I think it was like 18 years ago. And then when he got home from work, he says, oh my God, this fish is actually gasping for air. And being a physician himself, he says, you know what? This is so unethical. I don't want to eat this anymore. He saw this fish actually gasping. And then another time he came home and one of these beautiful birds was caught on the neighbor's dock and it had ripped the esophagus. So in my scrubs and in his scrubs, he says, go grab your sewing kit and come downstairs. I'm like, what? So he literally stitched up this beautiful bird, wow, the esophagus and the skin. And the bird just got up and pecked him on the cheek and kept walking. And he said, you know what? I will never eat meat again. And he hasn't. Wow. So it took something drastic like that for him to stop.
Well, and that is definitely like, you know, the ethical side of it. But there's also, for people who are just vegan for ethical reasons, it's really not a health thing. It's not about health at all. I mean, it's, for honestly, the last 3 years, I've been a complete junk food vegan. It's been awful. Like, there's so much good stuff out there, good tasting stuff, you know. But for people who are plant-based, or, you know, without, like, the whole ethical side of things, that was another thing in the groups. Like, maybe they wanted to have Oreo cookies, and you would have somebody be like, oh, well, there's too much fat in that, or there's too much whatever.
Or eggs.
It's still vegan, so let them eat the freaking Oreos.
So what do you say to
that's
people?
That's how we started the group.
So what do you say to people who, like, my friend Drew and myself, because I do, like, eat chicken and fish, what do you say to people who says that, who think that eating meat is essential to health and a more natural part of a diet?
I mean, to be honest with you, I don't really say anything. It's not, I, like I was saying earlier, you know, when we were off air, I was really big into activism. I still am very much supportive of all my activist friends. I think it's awesome. It wasn't good for my soul. I sat with a lot of negativity, you know, when I was doing that. And I kind of have moved on to more of a, you know, instead of bashing what you hate,
acceptance,
promote what you love.
More of acceptance.
Yeah, everybody has their own path. And with the keto thing, there's vegan keto too. I mean, yeah, fat is good. It's good. It's good stuff. But I just found that it's so much easier, and it has been a lot more helpful. Yesterday, VegFest, Healthy Planet of Brevard had VegFest. Over 10,000 people came out from all over the state. I think it's the largest or second largest in Florida. And we had so many people come over to the plant-based Brevard group that were saying thank you. Like, thank you for not being judgmental. Thank you for understanding that
it's a
I'm
choice.
Not all the way there
it,
yet.
It is
you.
A choice. But, you know, you hear that people say that from a global perspective that it would be better for the planet if most people ate plants.
Yes.
Now that, I've seen a lot of documentaries on that, and I do believe that.
Yeah.
And I hope to give up eating chicken one day, but I can't.
A lot of the, because you have to feed the cattle, and that goes into, like, the whole, you know, ethical and environmental thing. I try to stay away from all of that, and just, I mean, if I can just get more people to put plants on their plate, or see how easy it is that you can go to all these restaurants. We have so many restaurants in Brevard that have added the Impossible Burger. I mean, we're talking about, like, grilled seafood. Nomad Cafe added in July a separate plant-based menu, which is amazing.
Healthy,
New York
Happy
Pizza
Human
Spot had us come in and do a taste test on some vegan cheese, a new vegan cheese. We tasted it. We loved it. And I really am not into a lot of the alternatives. I don't eat a lot of the alternatives or anything. The prior version of this product tasted like plastic. I'm not kidding you guys. It tastes like kerosene. But the new version is so good. So they put it on their menu after we gave it the go. They put it on their menu, and they sold $800 of it the first day that they had it on the menu. So it's like, it's not just that we're helping people change, like, their diets or helping the environment. It's also helping small businesses to be open to a whole new audience of people.
Yeah, I think people need to be honest about plant-based diets or diets that have actually helped their health.
Right.
It's not that you want to convert people to eat what you're eating, but I think if you could show them the reasons why and say, well, look, my blood pressure was so high and now I cut out salt.
Like,
and
I cut out meat. People, I think, are really confused about cholesterol. My husband, even, we just had this conversation like a year ago, and he was like, wait, what? Nothing that's plant-based has any cholesterol in it. There's zero cholesterol. So if you're eating French fries or fried pickles or whatever it is you're eating, there's no cholesterol. So for people who needed to be on a lower cholesterol diet, it's definitely, I mean, it's a win-win. For
even
that.
Lentils. Lentils are so good for you. Now, I don't know if Ellen ever had my lentils and rice with the raisins on the top.
Yep.
I mean, I make shepherd's pie with veggie meat.
Amazing.
I actually just went to a restaurant, Archie's, the British restaurant in Lake Washington. Mm-hmm. And they sell a lot of shepherd's pie, and I was telling the owners that I make the shepherd's pie with the veggie meat, and she was stunned. I said, when I make that, I can feed 20 people, and nobody knows that it's not meat. And I think the trick is you have to season your food with onion and garlic and tomato paste and all the good stuff, because people can't tell.
exactly what you're just saying. I have a friend too who said this is what helped her go vegetarian, was just this realization. The fact that, like, I used to love buffalo wings, buffalo shrimp, things like that. And then what I realize now is that what I actually loved was buffalo. You can buffalo a tater tot, yes. French fry, yes. Cauliflower. You can buffalo a piece of paper. I'm going to eat it. You know, so it really is. I still use A1 sauce on my burgers.
It's a habit, I think. It's a habit because, you know, when we were children, my mother would make a lot of dishes with garbanzo beans and and naan, the Indian bread naan. And then they would make eggplant. They would make fried okra. They would make spinach. But everything went with rice and something called dal. So you'll have the dal and the rice and this vegetable on the side. But we really didn't miss the meat. I just wanted the meat because I saw on TV everybody was eating meat.
Right.
And then when I came to America and I saw French fries and burgers, I completely forgot I was Hindu. I wanted to eat that burger. And I'm like, oops. But, I mean, it is learned behavior. Yeah. You are your environment. You
and
really
it is
are.
It's surprising, though, when so a few nights ago, last Thursday, we had, actually right where Flea God is held, the EGOD Community Garden had an event with Standard Collective, which is also an EGOD, and then the EcoVerde School. And it was a collaborative with NASA, and it was called Plants in Space, and Plant-Based Brevard was there. We were serving food to the NASA engineers and the community members that that came to see the speakers and everything. And so what we had was we had chili, and the chili was made with the Beyond Meat crumbles,
yes.
Which is pea protein.
Yeah. And that's expensive, you know, to eat healthy sometimes. It is expensive. Publix is like, what, $5 for the bag?
I don't know. They have dollar off coupons on the
yes,
website.
They do.
If,
yeah.
if you go to the website. And if you follow Plant-Based Brevard, we make it super easy and cost effective because I always put on there when the sales are. They had the Beyond Beef had BOGO last week at Publix. So we bought
Dr.
them out.
Dr. Moy is also a vegetarian.
We bought them out.
I use
you know,
all
you,
those
you
products.
You need to come over to my house and eat that lentil
and
rice.
I have a son-in-law from India, so he will sometimes cook food for us. It's
that's
very
like a
good because I love.
I keep telling my daughters they have to marry Indians.
Yes, well, you know,
so that we can have
as
the
we
food.
Speak today,
new
my
recipes.
Husband is making a dish. You boil the lima beans halfway through, and you boil the rice halfway. And then you drain it, both of it. And then in the bottom of the pot, you put like some potatoes with some oil and butter. And then you layer it with oil, lima bean. You put the rice, the lima bean, and you top it with dill weed. And you just let that steam for half an hour. And he will have that with like an egg on the side. And of course, greedy me, I'll make a chicken breast. Mm-hmm. But that is such a good meal. And it tastes really good with the butter and a little bit of salt and everything.
Yeah.
And it's as vegetarian as you get.
Yeah.
You know, but we do make a lot of vegetarian food. So Kenan, in addition to the plant-based diet, you also help with the downtown Ogalle district.
Yeah.
And you help with the farmers market that you guys are doing once a month.
Yeah. So that is called Flea Gad.
Not like flea.
Yeah.
Animals.
I know. It's kind of like, no. Yeah, not flea like fleas. We don't have any fleas.
F-L-E-A.
Yeah, kind of a play on, you know, flea, like indie flea. Because
right.
People think like flea market, but it's more like the indie flea festivals and stuff that you see. And then EGAD, so Flea Gad. And that is, we're coming into the 6th month, and that's a collaborative between, we say it's powered by the merchants. So
how did that get started? Because there was a time when downtown, the Ogalle district, we saw people were trying to paint murals and they were trying
yeah.
to have arts. And then all of a sudden you drive by on a Saturday and there's a bit of a crowd now. There's fresh
yeah.
foods and vegetables
we're
and
really
people are selling.
Excited about it. It's going really well.
And
so,
how does one get involved?
Well, you can apply to be a vendor. And I'm so excited to say, like, this month we had, I think it was record-setting. I mean, how many vendors we had apply. And like I was telling you earlier, it was a little emotional to have to turn people away because we want so many
people. Is it just foods or is it products as well?
It's mostly art. It's kind of the way that we're headed right now is, like, art and jewelry. Anything that's artisan, you know, handcrafted. Last month we had this amazing furniture that I think he electrocutes it or something. It's amazing, the process that he uses. All these volts go through this paint and it causes this amazing reaction. Standard Collective is involved. They're an EGOD business. Salty Fox, Yoga
so
Garden.
So did they have anything to do
Eco-Verde
with the weekend
school.
Thing that happened this past weekend, the 17th and 18th?
So the Veg Fest?
Yeah.
Veg Fest is Healthy Planet of Brevard.
Right.
And then, so that's a separate, That's a separate entity. And then,
she's busy. She's in homeschooling. She's
busy.
With the downtown tiny, district. Tiny she's doing this
well, I just did an event
diet.
There Friday in EGAD in, oh, yeah. in O'Galley Friday okay. night. We played music.
Oh.
For an event that they
oh,
were
awesome.
Having.
Oh,
down
in
there.
The square?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we're definitely hoping to expand to the square. This month we have 42 vendors this month. We always have a plant-based food truck, usually equal. We always have Salty Bean, which is plant-based. We always have, we call him the hot dog guy, but Speedy Weenie. He does vegan hot dogs. He has regular
He's
hot dogs,
He's so cool.
Too. I love him. He is the most creative person. Is. And he does pasta salads, vegan chicken pot pies, the whole nine yards, lemonade. He kills me. But and we have lots of artists and stuff that are out there. But we also have Mackenzie Carey. She was on American Idol this past season, so she'll be out there in the garden singing. And it's right there behind
you,
Yoga Garden.
I think if you put your mind to it, you could just about cook anything as long as it's seasoned well.
Yeah.
Like simple thing as black beans. I went to a friend's house once and she just opened the black beans and heated it up and gave it to us with rice. But what I do with black beans, I heat a little oil. I put a little onion, a little garlic, a little Trini hot pepper, chili mm-hmm. pepper. I bring it to a good fry. And then I put two cans of that black beans with a little lemon juice. I bring it to a boil and then I simmer it for 20 minutes. My God. You eat that, you'll be like, whoa, I don't need anything else. But I think it's all about the season. But I didn't sure. become so good overnight. My husband is a great cook. Hmm. And people often say, oh, Dr. Biggie, you should open a restaurant. But he says, no, that's a lot of work. He'd yeah. rather just have people
it's
come over and eat
fun
it at
when
home.
You have to do it.
It is. So, okay, that's so cute that we have to kind of tone it down.
I know.
So
I hate
somebody,
wrapping up.
I know.
It's the worst part of the show.
You know, Drew, you should come back, you and Dr. Moore and Miriam. Mm-hmm. Miriam.
Yeah.
Because the show, this is what we do. We kind of make it to where the show is friendly enough mm-hmm. so that we can have a conversation about food or how, I mean, it's all geared towards people being healthy, thinking positive, lowering your cholesterol. I mean, even exercising, which yeah. we should talk about that one day as well. But if someone wants to get on the website or the Facebook page to join all these great things you're doing, yeah. Keenan, where should they
definitely
go?
Definitely follow us on Facebook, and we always post all the cool stuff. We have events, too. We have the Vegan Takeover the third Saturday of every month. We take over. The Downtown Melbourne Farmers Market is so kind to let us take it over. We always have vegan food trucks. We have and the Bearded Chef, which is half of their menu, is pretty much vegan. 40-something vendors the third Saturday. Then we have Fleagad, which is lots of plant-based options. We have a website, plantbasedbrevard.com. On that website, there's a restaurant database for Brevard County. You can click on a restaurant, and it'll tell you all your vegan options there. We have 75 restaurants to add to that before the year's over. We have a blog.
Well, Ellen is a vegetarian. Miriam is a vegetarian. You're one. Just Drew and I are in the minority right now. But I do make a good chicken parmesan, I must tell you.
I make a good yeah. vegan chicken parmesan.
I'll have to check
We'll have
it
to
out.
Have a cook-off.
All right. Yes. Well, you know, the thing is, this is what life should be about, right? Yeah. If you discover something to help a fellow human, mm-hmm. you should share it. That's yeah. what it's, I mean, like even with the homelessness, if you discover how to help a young family who just got married and someone could sit down with them and speak about financial situations and say, listen, do not get the Starbucks coffee. Not that we have anything against Starbucks, but instead of paying $5 a day for a cup of coffee, why don't you just buy a big coffee and make your coffee at home? And at the end of the week, you'll have $40 in your pocket. Or teach someone that, you know, just because your friend has a brand new sweater doesn't mean you need one. You can learn how to hand wash something. I mean, that's what life is all about, is teaching each other about what we should do to help fellow human beings.
And few final comments I just want to make. Plant-Based Brevard's got a PBB Beach bonfire going on November 24th.
Yeah.
December 1st, yoga for lunch.
Yep.
And December 16th, a beauty brunch. So make sure that you tune into that, all of those great events. And once again, Sita, another fantastic show here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. All the information is posted. And friends, very, very happy Thanksgiving to all of you and yours.